Most of you will know that 3 weeks before this, and now this morning, I've been dealing with the Sabbath, what we would call the Sabbath day, or the New Testament calls later the Lord's Day. I've been dealing with this question of the Sabbath day with you. And you might ask, why is he spending 4 weeks or more on this subject? And my answer is this: simply because some of us do not keep the Sabbath day. It's necessary. Some of us do not keep it. And because of this, some of us do not benefit from the Sabbath day, and God is being dishonored in your lives and the church's life. So it's an important matter that you benefit and that God is honored by you and by me. So this morning, first of all, I want to go back to the basic question, why did God give a day of rest? Why did he do it? Now, when I ask the question, why did God give a day of rest, we're asking the question about his purpose. What was his purpose in giving this provision? Well, we've begun, for more than 1 week, we've begun by looking at Genesis chapter 2. And the end of the first week, the creation week. And in that passage, which we just read anyway, it's quite clear that God is giving to mankind his own pattern. We're being told this is what God did. And the pattern of God's behavior is given to us as a pattern for us to follow. It's quite clear in the text that the Lord set apart the seventh day. In other words, he declared that this day was a holy day, not like the other days. And when it says he blessed it, really what it means is that he is using this day to be a blessing to you and me. Okay? So this is the very foundation. Right from the beginning of creation, this has been established. And but I'm asking more about the purpose. Why did he do it? And we would have to say that to tell us not to do work had a positive purpose. It was so that we might give our hearts totally to the Lord. The goal, if you like, was that we might enter into communion with God and that we might worship him. It is, if you like, our relationship to God that's in view here. This day has been provided so that man might come and hear the voice of God, as we have it now in the scriptures, that he might come and offer worship to God, who is the only true and living God. It says in the creation account that Adam was made in the image of God. He was made in the image of God. And that really tells us that Adam was made in many respects like God. He was modeled on him. But being in the image of God means that if his relationship with God is broken, he has no peace, no rest. There is no good in his life, no hope. The man who does not, if you like, have a relationship with God is a man who is plunged into death. Okay? He's a dead man, spiritually speaking. So the purpose is to, as it were, bring the children of God to their Heavenly Father. And this morning, we saw that this provision has been included in the Ten Commandments. And this morning, I don't want to say more about that. What I do want to do is bring your minds now to think about the purpose. Why did God establish the Sabbath day, the day of rest, at creation for the whole world and in the Ten Commandments for his people in particular? Why? And the purpose of all this is found in what I call, what is called, the first and the great commandment. Our Lord Jesus was asked the question, we'll see it in a moment, which is the first commandment? Which is the most important commandment? And he answers immediately, we'll see. If you think about the first and great commandment, that is the purpose, if you like, behind the Sabbath day. Let me read this to you. He says, "Then one of them, a lawyer," that's a man who studies the law, "asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" In other words, if you read the whole law with all its 600 or whatever it is commandments, the great commandment that gets to the very foundations is that we might love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. You know that this comes from Deuteronomy. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Listen. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And he goes on, "And these words which I command you today must be in your heart." Now Moses repeated that several times. What does the Lord your God require of you? But listen. "And now Israel," this is another place, "what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear or reverence the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God," what? "With all your heart and with all your soul." Now, that is the purpose of the Sabbath day. It is the day on which, if you like, we might be led to him to express and to grow in love to him. The psalmist writes this. Psalm 31, he says this. "Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person." Love the Lord, all you his saints. Now, I hope you can see that is the purpose. The purpose of the fourth commandment, the purpose of the creation provision, is really to bring us, if you like, to clear the way for us to concentrate on our relationship with God without distractions from the things of the world, the business of the world. That's the purpose. Now then, I want to develop this one more step and say this, that this requirement, this provision of the Sabbath day, and the purpose that we might love the Lord our God, to that is added a promise. Listen to James. When James writes about this, he says this. Look, "Blessed is the man," this is James chapter 1 verse 12, "blessed is the man who endures temptation," listen, "for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life." Okay, so he's picturing the Christian life where the Christian is, as it were, is following Christ and fighting against, resisting temptation. He says, when he has endured, he will receive the crown of life. That's the promise. But listen, listen. "Which the Lord has promised to whom?" To those who love him. To those who love him. See, James is saying, don't you know that the Lord has promised the crown of life to those who love him, to those who love him? The Apostle Paul, if you read Paul's letters, you'll notice that he usually closes off with something very significant. The letter to the Ephesians, he closes off like this. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love, well, what is it? With love, some say it's love undying. Others say it's love immortal. Or others say it's love without corruption. The word he uses means with pure love that never dies. However you translate it, grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love immortal or love pure. And in his first letter to the Corinthians, he finishes nearly the last words. And these astonishing words, listen, it doesn't this make you tremble? Listen, if anyone does not love our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The word is the familiar word, I think you know the word anathema. Paul is saying, if anyone doesn't love our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And you, Paul uses that word in two places in his letters. He says, if anyone twists the gospel, let him be accursed. And now, if anyone doesn't love our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So you can see, can you see that there is something in the mind of God which takes account of our need of him. It takes account of why we've been created. Why have we been created? Have you been created to become the best teacher in the world? Or the best architect in the world? Or the best musician in the world? What has God created us for? Our chief reason for living is that we might know him and love him and eventually receive from him that crown of life. In Exodus chapter 31, Moses comes back to the Sabbath day and he says this, the Sabbath day is a sign upon God's people. In other words, it's something that marks out the people of God. Now, the Sabbath day is outward, isn't it? You either do or you don't keep it. But the keeping of it is a mark of what goes on in your heart. And this is really, if you take nothing else away from this morning, take this away, that the Sabbath day is a kind of thermometer that tells you the temperature of your heart towards God. Now, I want, secondly, and very briefly, I want to begin to talk about how we use it. How do you use this day? And what I've been essentially leading to is this, that how you use today shows to yourself what's in your heart. It raises the question, see, what's in your heart? Where is your treasure? What is your delight? In the verses I read to you from Nehemiah, did you notice that in that generation, the people of God said, we're separating ourselves from the world outside. In other words, we're not going to do what the unbeliever does. We're not going to do what they do. And they were very specific. When they come and they want to sell us grain or fish or other goods, we're not going to buy it. We're not having anything to do with that. And I want you to picture for a moment their donkeys coming to the gates of Jerusalem. If you like, their shopping trolleys were full. Figs, grapes, grain. Full shopping trolleys were being wheeled up to the gates of Jerusalem. But their hearts were empty. Their shopping trolleys were full. but their hearts were empty. They were more concerned about buying and selling food and other things than they were about the Lord. That was the problem. And so Nehemiah comes and shuts the gates. And he did that because he was the governor. He wasn't a priest or a prophet. He was a ruler. And he shut the gates and threatened to put them in prison if they broke it. Right, we're not having this. But I would say to you, Nehemiah could shut the gates all he liked. But only God could give them the heart they needed. In the end, it comes down to the heart. Let me just say this practically. If you work today, and I don't mean doctors and nurses, let me be clear. People don't stop getting sick. But if you choose to work today, then I would say to you, consider what you are losing. Consider what you are losing yourself. You are losing the Word of God and the worship of God. You're giving up the opportunity to hear Him, to nourish your souls, and to return your praise to Him. You're giving up. When you give up the Word of God, it's as if you're passing by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaks in the Scriptures. When we read these things, the Spirit of God is speaking in His church. But if you're not there because you've decided to go shopping or work or watch Wimbledon or whatever it is, however you feel today, you're giving up heavenly and spiritual treasures. If you go home and can't wait to get on the internet to play some game with your friends, you're abusing the Sabbath day because you're missing the Word of God. You're missing the time to meditate, the time to rest spiritually, the time to pray. You're missing fellowship with your Heavenly Father. When I ask you the question, what else might you be missing? Might you be missing the crown of life? Last Sunday I spoke to you about the eternal Sabbath. I hope that you made a connection in your minds between the Sabbath day now and the eternal Sabbath. Because you know, in one sense, the eternal Sabbath is going to be exactly the same as the Sabbath day today. So if you don't really enjoy today, why do you imagine you'll ever enjoy being in the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem? It's not there in your heart. How can you possibly say, I'm dying to be in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ? But not today. Not today. Today I'm more interested in that football game going on, that basketball game, that TV, that Wimbledon. My interests are in other things today, but one day I'll be interested in heaven. That is just imagination. Okay? It takes thought to decide, how am I going to use the Sabbath day? You get 52 of them in the average year. What are you going to do with those Sabbath days? I think we're living in a world which no longer even thinks about the Sabbath day. If you were to walk down the streets and ask the people, do you know that today is the Sabbath day? What are you talking about? And for many of us, our families are in that position, or our friends. And they may not even understand what this means to the Christian. And it's incumbent upon us to explain to them. Who knows? If you say to your friends and family, today is the Lord's Day, it's not for you. To this day, God has reserved for Himself. That very thought, who knows whether that might be the instrument in saving their souls? Without something that many of us have family members who are not with the Lord. You know, it's we have to remember the Sabbath day and consider the impact upon our family and friends. And it is a matter of honesty, of telling your friends, school friends, don't contact me today. Speak to me on Monday. Leave these things out of this day and reserve it for the Lord. It's about being children of God, and it's about loving Him. And if the heart of things are right within you, you won't have trouble putting it into practice. I said at the beginning, I've come back to this subject for the fourth time because I don't want it to be forgotten 3 weeks from now. I'd like it to dwell in your minds and you get to the point where you say, right, this is going to make a difference to what I do. Okay? And pray that God will bless your hearts in it. Amen.